with the mind. Battle with the mind.
Now, the Personal Development Radio Show with Brady Cameron. The radio program that gives you the tools to succeed in life and your career. Now, here's your host, Brady Cameron.
Woo! Crazy stuff going on here tonight. That's right, we got employees coming in just maybe a minute late, but it doesn't matter! Because you are welcome to the Personal Development Show. I am your host, Brady Cameron, and I am here with my super experienced and well-trained staff of personal development instructors, and please allow them to introduce themselves.
I am Steve Garcia.
Kim Crawford.
And Rachel Allert.
And so powerful, we gotta do it twice.
Steve Garcia.
Kim Crawford.
And Rachel Allert.
And I am Brady Cameron. I am your host, and I want to welcome you to your intergalactic, super fantastic 2 hours of personal development power. If you listen closely, you can hear the powerful engines of the USS Mental Black Belt Starship in the background. The USS Mental Black Belt Starship has docked here in Vegas again, as we always do, every Monday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. We cruise the universe to find you the best personal and business development information. You can go to thepersonaldevelopmentshow.com. That's right, I'll say it one more time, thepersonaldevelopmentshow.com, and download your free report on exactly what is a mental black belt and how you can become one. My job is to turn you into an unstoppable and highly focused individual that promotes happiness and success to all those around you. You will be able to hit your goals and build the life that you want and deserve to live. People will admire your positive attitude and ability to get things done. They may even resent you for being so positive and goal-driven and happy with yourself and your life that they see you building right in front of them every day. Sure, and I meant that. Everything we teach on this show is moving you into the direction of becoming a force of nature. We also refer to a force of nature as a mental black belt. This is your official Life Warrior training show. Whether you are female or male makes no difference, because you too can become a mental black belt, a force of nature. I'd like to say hello to my son, the Ronin. I'd like to say hello to my children, who I love very much. So I will start with the Ronin, my son, the Honey Badger, and my daughter, the Nicole. Anybody else want to say hello to Ronan and Nicole?
Hi,
what's
Ronan
up, Ronan?
What's
Hi,
up,
Nicole?
Ronan? And Nicole's the sniper.
And we have a huge show for you this evening. How huge is it? Well, let me explain to you. First of all, at 7:15, we're going to be talking to the talented and well-experienced Dr. John Weiss. Who, did I say it Weiss or Weiss? Weiss, right?
Weiss.
Weiss, okay.
Just like very wise in information.
Dr. John Weiss, who is a certified chiropractor physician with an emphasis on holistic health care. At 8:15, we will have the highly trained Paula Pecorella talking with you about health and fitness and how you can get healthy and stay that way. You probably heard her commercial at the very beginning of our intro into the show. That is Paula Pecorella. And we will also be talking about branding your business, 10 things that a mental black belt knows and accepts. We will also be talking about my blogs at thepersonaldevelopmentshow.com. That's all one big type in, thepersonaldevelopmentshow.com, which will include my blogs that we'll be talking about this evening, which is, why is it so important to be a maverick in today's world? Put that one in the back of your head.
That's just one of the blogs.
What?
That awesome blog.
Why is it so important to be a maverick in today's world? Then we'll go into a second blog, working your mind to a greater degree for clarity and maximizing your energy. Then we'll do a third blog, living the life you want in a state of living the life you want is a state of mind. Now, every single week we will be talking about my post, as many of them we can, meaning my blogs on thepersonaldevelopmentshow.com, and going over that and just giving you a little deeper look into those blogs and exactly what they mean. And just go to thepersonaldevelopmentshow.com and hit blog, and you can begin to read hundreds of free blogs that are there for you for personal and business development. And yes, I write them for you with love. Right. Understand that? With love.
They're chock full of great information.
All righty. So we will have Dr. John Wise at 7:15, and then we will have Paula Pecorella at 8:15. So she'll be coming in right about the top of the second hour. So you're going to want to stick around for both of those. Now, to talk just a little bit more about Dr. John Wise, you know what? I'm so excited. My brain's moving faster than my mouth right now.
Happens to me sometimes.
Yeah, so here's a short bio on him. Dr. John Wise is a board-certified chiropractic physician that has an emphasis on holistic health care. By the way, I forgot. That's right. It happens to the best of us. We can all forget. Now, if you go to the personaldevelopmentshow.com, you'll notice a little tab right there, and it says speakers.
Guest speakers.
You can click on that. Click. And there will be a page that opens up for you. And it will be right this week. You'll see Dr. John Wise and
Paula Pecorella.
She will both be there. Their bios are side by side. Now, this is something new we've started. So we're just getting this thing going. It'll look a little bit more professional within a week or two, because we'll have their pictures up there and we'll have maybe their addresses and their phone numbers and a little short bio that would be edited, and it all look real professional. But we wanted to get something up there for our wonderful guest this evening because we were going to start this anyway. So you know what? I'm one of those guys who say, start it and we'll perfect it along the way. I don't wait for it to be perfected.
I like that game plan.
Do it. That's what we do. Okay. All righty. So, Dr. John Wise is a board-certified chiropractic physician that has emphasis on holistic health care. He has been practicing holistic health care in Las Vegas since 2006. Prior to that, Dr. Wise was a holistic wellness center near Dr. Wise was in a holistic wellness center near Los Angeles, California. Dr. Wise graduated magna
cum laude
from Cleveland Chiropractic College. Well, whoop-dee-doo. You know what that really means? He's really smart. That's what
yeah,
it means.
Right?
That's the guy you want working on you. The Cleveland Health Center, Los Angeles Mission, treating homeless individuals, and at USC Medical Center. Dr. Wise won many awards in the last several years. He was named one of America's top chiropractors by the Consumer Research Council of America several times. He won the CMUS Talk of the Town Award, the John Rathel Memorial Service Award for Excellence Community Service, and several service awards for his work with the Lions International Foundation, including the Helen Keller Award. Dr. Wise has been a practicing lion for the last 4 years. Now, how many people can say they're a practicing lion?
I cannot. My daughter's a practicing kitty.
Dr. Wise, in the last 6 years, has seen well over 50,000 office visits while practicing here in Vegas. Think about that. 50,000 office visits. That's amazing.
That is a lot.
It is. That's more books than I've read. His last office, he averaged 70 to 80 patients per day. His current office, he limits his patient visit to 25 to 35 patients a day so that he can spend more time with each patient and provide a better health experience. He is currently working on a fellowship in the pediatrics and postdoctorate certification in wellness and preventive medicine. And that man, Dr. John Wise, yes, will be with us at 7:15 today. And everyone's looking at me that they can't believe how powerful this man is.
Great. Not at all.
He is. Do you already have the pictures up?
Yep.
Uh-oh. Watch out. If you go to thepersonaldevelopmentshow.com, all one word. We'll just call it that. It's all one word. Thepersonaldevelopmentshow.com. Click on guest. Weekly guest?
Guest speakers.
That's guest speakers. What's on my website? All right, guest speakers. And you will see actual pictures of tonight's guests, a short bio about them. And do we have any other juicy stuff on there right now, Steve?
Just our two guests for this evening.
All right. Okay. Like I said, we just started this particular part of the program. So these two guests tonight got us rolling. Yay!
Yay!
Thanks for the push in the right direction. All right, let's see here. Now what are we going to do here with our outstanding, incredible show? Mm-hmm. We know, and I know, I pondered something the other day. If I said I was me, and if you said you were me, would we both be subjectively the same person? Or is that just a way, a tricky way to define that? I just lost our producer. He went into the no return zone.
I'd say if I said I was you, then it might be time for a checkup.
Yeah, but if I say I'm me,
but I'm me,
and he's me, and you're me, and she's me, and we all agree that we are me, how do we get out of that entanglement?
But I am me, and you are you.
But see, you're creating a separation.
Okay. Oh, but without so we are all one.
Yeah, so without creating a separation, would we all really be the same if we didn't create?
Interesting question.
I don't know. I'm just asking the questions here, okay? I'm depending on you guys to answer them for me.
Maybe it would be like body parts. Like, although heart and lungs and brain and kidneys are all separate, they are all part of one body.
That would be
things that make me go
right.
That was such a good question. That really made me think. Now I look like the producer Ryan over there. We're both in the no return zone. So, but it was kind of an intriguing question. I know a lot of guys are thinking, okay, this guy
what
is a
heck?
Weirdo. We can't turn the channel fast enough. However, I know some of you guys like us. Mm-hmm. You send me emails. We got Facebook likes. We know you're listening. Okay, so we don't know who you are, but we know that some of you are listening. A lot of you are listening, but we just don't know who you are yet. But we know because of our likes on Facebook.
However, if you're hearing this, you are one of those.
You have stepped into...
The no zone.
Of course, obviously, you're invited to, you know, let us know who you are by calling in, right?
You can do that. And you know what? Our show is not really structured to be caller in friendly yet because we have so many interviews. We talk about so much information. But as the show proceeds and we consider doing a third hour, moving the show to 6 to 9.
Wow.
6 to 9. Okay.
Just can't get enough
of this.
We will
let you guys know about that in about the next 30 days and what we're going to do in that specific situation. So stay tuned because there's always things developing with the Personal Development Show. And right now, if we can, we're going to go live. I want to call it live. And Dr. Wise, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Well, how are you this evening?
Doing very well. How are you doing?
Oh, we are absolutely fantastic, and even better that we have you here to explain to us the science of chiropractic or the art of chiropractic and holistic medicine or whatever it's called. I'm going to let you explain it. So my first question to you, sir, is what is chiropractic?
Well, chiropractic is it's the safest, most effective form of health care pretty much in the world today. It's a complete drugless profession. In some states, chiropractors are capable of doing minor surgeries like doing stitches, but overall, it's always been classified as a drugless or surgeryless profession. The primary function of chiropractors is to really work on trying to improve your spinal neurological hygiene, much like going to a dentist to work on improving your oral hygiene. That's in there. When it comes to holistic, well, holistic wellness care just really refers to anything that's all natural, it's safe, it's effective methods for working on trying to improve the health of the body.
You know, I have an interesting story I'll share with everyone real quick, because back in about 2003, 2004, I had a severe lower lumbar problem, my L3, L4. And I tried a lot of medical stuff through regular doctors, Western medicine, and they were giving me some pain pills and all this good stuff, but that wasn't really working. And I went to a chiropractor here in town back then. I then forgot the person's name, but they got me relief. So I actually went the reverse way I should have. I should have just went to a chiropractor in the first place instead of going to Western medicine per se, because the chiropractic really helped me. It really got me moving again.
Yeah, and that's one of the big things is most of us, we were ingrained ever since birth that when you have an issue, when you have a symptom, you take a pill. Mm. But there's not really any pills that's capable of resolving the actual problem that caused the issue. they just cover up the symptoms. And one of the things with the chiropractic is it does work on trying to find the actual root cause that's affecting your health, removing that root cause, and the body's capable of healing itself and going back to the relatively back to where it should be.
And so how would you explain holistic health care to us?
Well, holistic, kind of like going back with what I was talking about, is holistic health care is really using natural, safe, effective methods for trying to improve one's health and wellness. Mm-hmm. So you're using a lot of herbs, you're using a lot of vitamins, you're using things like chiropractic, since chiropractic is the leaders in the holistic health and wellness movement going on. But there's other stuff you can look into, like certain doctors that classified in holistic health care. It would be oriental medical doctors like acupuncture, you know, homeopathic doctors, naturopathic doctors. Mm-hmm. But then you can even, you know, get simplified with it. Like, you know, massage therapy is considered more holistic because it's more natural. You could look into doing Reiki with a Reiki therapist, even utilizing essential oils to help try and improve your overall general health and wellness is classified as being under holistic health care. So it's not just strictly limited chiropractic, but holistic is trying to get back to the holistic or the holism of a person. You're not trying to treat one particular condition. You're not trying to treat the liver. You're just trying to work on improving the health and wellness of the body, because when the health of the body comes back, those conditions usually go away.
So you're really trying to work more on the person as a whole.
Correct. And with chiropractic, I mean, chiropractic is a whole body centered thing. Its entire premise is the nervous system is the master system that controls and coordinates every aspect of your body. And one of the big things with chiropractic is the chiropractic adjustment. Is when you have your brain and spinal cord that controls everything within your body, your spine is there to protect your brain and nervous system, kind of like, you know, the lineman would be protecting a quarterback inside a football game.
That's a nice analogy.
And, yeah, and when you end up having, you know, misalignments of your vertebral column, that puts a lot of neurological irritation that's being placed on your spinal cord. More information that we could definitely go into later on. But in a gist with it, it's the same thing. It's like if you have the, you know, the lineman that's trying to protect the quarterback, and part of that line isn't steady, it's not grounded, you're going to allow, you know, a defensive end or a defensive tackle to come in and sack your quarterback. And when it comes to everything with healthcare, it's a much more simple analogy by using something we're very, very common with, and that's a computer. You've got two computers running. One computer has one window opened in the background. Another computer has 1,000 windows open in the background. Which one works better? It's like the simplest one is the computer with only one window. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just like our bodies, because our brain is a supercomputer. So every time you're having misalignments within your body, and that's adding neurological stress, that's like popping up extra windows. And then what the chiropractic adjustment does is it's kind of like going up to that window and just hitting X. And the more and more times you can hit X and you could clear those windows, you're allowing the brain to properly control and coordinate every aspect of your body much easier. So if you've got any type of injury or condition that's going on, and now the brain could properly control the body, I mean, things are going to work on trying to improve in a nutshell.
Okay, so then explain to us what spinal health is, because that one's got me a little bit.
Well, simple thing, spinal health. I mean, we can talk about oral health. I mean, what does a dentist do? Dentist works on improving your oral hygiene. What spinal health is very much the same thing. You're working on trying to keep your spine functioning 100%, because that correlates to your neurological hygiene. If your spine was functioning exactly the way it was designed to do, you know, we wouldn't have a whole lot of neurological issues that's popping up. And so forth. So when you, with regards to spinal health, is you're just working on trying to do everything you can to keep your spine healthy, because if your spine's healthy, your nervous system is going to be healthy. And as long as you can keep your spinal neurological hygiene up to par, I mean, you're going to have better outcomes in life and you're going to be healthier. The entire goal isn't to be 60, 70, 80 and on 20 to 30 different pills and have heart disease, cancer, diabetes, leading for a stroke, because that's where most of our adults are today when they're in that criteria.
Mm-hmm.
But it never used to be like that.
Mm.
No, you go back 20 years ago, we weren't nearly as sick as where we are today. You go back 50 years ago. How about 100 years ago? Did you ever hear about our ancestors 100 years ago dying from cancer and heart disease?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because my grandmother and grandfather both lived into their late 80s. And relative to their dying, they weren't really on a lot of medications or anything like that. They were actually pretty vibrant, pretty healthy people.
And that's really how it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point in time, the body's going to give out. Modern science tells us the body is capable of living 120 years old.
Mm.
Now, show me most people who actually achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very, very rare. You could speed up the process. You could slow the process down. We've worked very, very good at speeding up the process.
Mm.
And, I mean, you want to talk about age. My grandmother turns 98 years old this year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
My great-grandmother died at 107.
Wow.
But we actually believe she was older than that, because my grandmother and great-grandmother are Ukrainian. They came over from the Ukraine in the early 1900s, and we believe that my grandmother changed her birth year to make her look younger, because she always looked younger. So after my great-grandmother passed, my grandmother found her diary written in Ukrainian with a date. And the date was my grandmother's birth month, birthday, but the year on it was 7 years older than what my grandmother knew her birth year was.
Hmm.
So if that was my great-grandmother's actual birthday, she actually died at 114 years old.
Wow.
And that's insane. But when you look at what my grandmother and my great-grandmother went through, over in the Ukraine at the time, you had your choice. Fresh fruit and vegetables. Fresh meats or fresh fruit, vegetables, and meats.
Mm.
Clean water or clean water.
Right.
You know, my grandmother, she'll still tell today, the first time she even had a sip of Coke, she was over 50 years old.
Wow.
And she, when they immigrated from the Ukraine, came to the U.S., they settled in the West Coast. You know, they had a farm. They had some chickens. They had some pigs. They had a garden. You know, there's certain stuff that they didn't want to do or they didn't have the outsource, other members within their community took care of that.
Mm-hmm.
So they used a lot of bartering to make sure that you got good, healthy foods with no chemicals, no preservatives, no, you know, radiation that's going into the foods. It was a clean, healthy source. And because of that, that helped contribute to my grandmother now being 98 years old. And she was very, very active. She followed a lot of my three basic philosophies of health, which is eat wise, move wise, think wise.
Mm.
If you're capable of getting the right nutrition that your body needs to express optimal health and wellness, you know, you're meeting the eat wise requirements. If you're getting your whole body into constant motion on a consistent daily basis, exercising, walking, stretching, you know, you're doing great. But on the flip side to that, you have to make sure your spine and your joints are moving 100%.
So let me ask you this then. What steps can one take to improve their spinal health?
Well, there's several different steps. I mean, number one, you know, getting adjusted can be very, very beneficial for improving your spinal health. It's not the only thing that people have to do. Because your spine doesn't go out of alignment because of, you know, random chance. Mm. It goes out of alignment because it's adapting to your lifestyle. So one of the things I do recommend with people is, you know, you've got to work on spinal strength, core strength. You got to work on flexibility and stability within the spine. So going back to my eat wise, move wise, think wise component is when you're working on moving, you have to get your whole body into motion. You have to exercise daily. You have to stretch daily. You have to get adjusted if you're out of alignment. If you're not out of alignment, you don't need to be adjusted.
Uh-huh.
There's various different things that people can do on a consistent daily basis to work on improving their spinal neurological hygiene. I mean, when you go back and you start looking at, you know, Paleolithic records of our hunter-gatherer societies, and they're looking at the fossil records, they found virtually no spinal degeneration, but they also found no cancer, no heart disease, no liver disease. Now, our hunter-gatherers were living very, very long, productive lives, despite what some people are saying. Because when you look at, you know, hunter-gatherers, if you didn't die early on due to malnutrition or starvation, and you didn't die in your 20s or 30s due to either tribal conflict or going off and trying to, you know, hunt for your food and potentially getting eaten by the tiger or the lion, you lived a very, very long, productive life. And when you were 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 plus as a hunter-gatherer, you still had the body physique of a 20-year-old hunter-gatherer. I mean, their bodies did not degenerate. They did not die, you know, a horrible, painful death the way that our elderly are doing.
And part of that could be, too, because they didn't overstress their body with a lot of excess calories.
Well, actually, you would be surprised. Not necessarily calories. The average hunter-gatherer male consumed and burned over 4,000 calories a day.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so not necessarily calories. Food choices. Stressors is right. Stressors can be broken down into physical, chemical, and emotional stressors. Physical stressors, such as, you know, back in the day, in the hunter-gatherer's time, you know, you're running from a saber-toothed tiger, you trip, you fall, or, you know, maybe you have to run, jump over a ledge.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but, you know, there really wasn't chemical stressors because you had your choice of fresh fruit, fresh veggies, lean proteins, nuts and seeds. You didn't have any of the chemicals that we have today. And then the emotional standpoint, I mean, they really didn't have emotional stress. Early 1970s, National Geographic stumbled across a hunter-gatherer tribe called the Hunzas. And what they ultimately found is, number one, there's no physical stress, no chemical stress, no emotional stress. They were living what's called a perfect utopian lifestyle. And anyone can Google the Hunzas and be able to read about it. It was a cool research that they end up looking into the tribe. And when you really start looking at things and you start asking people that were within the tribe, they had no concept of theft, no concept of rape. You know, they didn't lock up their doors. They didn't have guns. They didn't have anything because they weren't terrified. They had no concept of fear. When you look at their age, they were living, on average, in this National Geographic quote, 140 to 160 years old.
Wow.
And that's huge. Now imagine being 140, 150, or even 160, and still being very, very active on a daily basis. How about the sex life? The quote in the article from one of the females used to say, you know, it's not nearly as much as what it used to be, but we're still having sex three times a week.
Mm-hmm. So, let's go ahead.
I mean, there's lots of stuff that we can easily learn from, you know, the hunter-gatherer tribes, even the tribes of today. You know, you go to what's called blue zones, you know, whether they're down in Asia, they're down in South America. These are specific areas of the community, specific areas of the world, where they have very, very little stress, and they achieve as close to a perfect utopian lifestyle as they can. And they're living very, very long, very, very well, with no cancer, no diabetes, no heart attack, none of the chronic diseases that's plaguing Western society today, and it's now plaguing the rest of the world. You look at Japan, where Japan once had, you know, was once considered one of the healthiest nations in the world. And a good friend of mine, he owns Osaka's Japanese Bistro here in town. He goes back to Japan quite often, and he says there's more sedentary, obese Japanese people today than he has ever seen in the history of going back to Osaka, Japan. And he said that every time he goes back there, there's a new McDonald's or a new American restaurant popped up around the corner, and there's a line wrapping around the building of Japanese people trying to get in there.
Wow.
And he says it's sickening every time he goes back there. We are literally killing our species at a nice, very, very slow, gradual death.
So that would lead us into then, why are we so sick, and why do we have more sick people today than even before? I mean, you could probably give a few bullet points from what you've already said, but is there anything else you would like to add to that? Because there's a lot of people listening who are probably having health problems or want to know how to get through the next 15 or 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. We are sick because we're making very, very sick, poor lifestyle choices. We are exactly the accumulation of everything we've done to ourselves our entire life. We are, you know, either sick because we are toxic in something or we are deficient in something else. And I always tell my patients that toxicity and deficiencies are the two primary causes of why we're sick. And when I educate people about my eat wise, move wise, think wise, I always say that you could become toxic and deficient in movement, toxic, deficient in nutrition, and toxic and deficient in, you know, emotional health as well. So when I talk with people, we always work on trying to find the different avenues or the different stressors that's in their lives, whether the physical, mental, or chemical, and work on trying to see what we can do to help get it out of their system. Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, chemicals or heavy metals within their body, let's do a detox. Let's try to pull the impurities out. If they're deficient in vitamins and minerals, let's work on supplying that sufficiency by teaching them how to eat healthy. Another thing that I've also noticed, because I'm certified in an allergy elimination protocol, is that a lot of people that's deficient in various types of vitamins and minerals are actually allergic to the vitamins and minerals that they're deficient in. And what the body does every time you're putting the vitamins and minerals in, it's viewing it as an allergy. So it's flushing it out, either in your poop or inside your urine. Mm. So that leads to more deficiencies within the body. And I've done several studies with a lot of my patients that's anemic and find out that most of my anemic patients are actually allergic to iron.
It's very interesting.
Okay, yeah. So what steps can we take to help improve our overall health and wellness?
Well, it's very, very simple. My mantra that I have said over and over again, you know, on the show and even outside of life, is my concept of eat wise, move wise, think wise. You have to evaluate your entire life on this scale. You have to break it down and you have to think, what does the average human being need for nutritional requirements? All right. And you start understanding that if I ask and it says, what do giraffes eat? Brady, what do giraffes eat?
They eat greens.
Okay, what do, you know, bears eat?
They eat meat.
Okay. and I could probably go through majority of the species, and you guys will be very, very close to describe what is the primary thing that they eat. Now, if I say, what do humans eat? Because humans are an animal, like every other animal in the world. What do we eat?
It appears that we eat anything and everything we can get our hands on.
And chances are, none of it's healthy.
Right.
And so forth. So when we start understanding the nutritional requirements of the human body, what are we designed to eat? Well, we're designed to eat lots of fruits and vegetables. We're designed to eat, you know, lean proteins, ideally wild game. We're designed to eat nuts and seeds. What are we designed to drink? Good, clean, purified filter water.
And that's it.
You know, that's it. Nothing out of a can, nothing out of a box. You know, I always joke around that everything that's inside a can or a box has so much preservatives in there that those things will survive a nuclear holocaust.
They sure will, so everybody grabs them.
So when you start looking at, you know, well, I got a Facebook comment just the other day about someone that was commenting on one of my posts, and they said, well, what are we supposed to eat then? What do we buy in the grocery store?
That's hilarious.
It's very, very simple. Number one, people should be shopping at, you know, more natural places like Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and Fresh and Easy. But when you go to any grocery store, shop on the outside of that store.
Right.
Okay? Don't shop in the center. You're shopping, you need to be buying the meats. You know, the fresh meats, you need to be buying the fresh fruits, the fresh veggies, and you need to leave the crap in the inside alone. And it's like, as long as you can work on doing that, I don't even care if it's organic or non-organic, as long as you could do that, and you're actually putting real food in your system, you're going to start hitting the nutritional requirements that your body needs.
Well, Dr. Okay. Weiss, if you could, go ahead and tell everyone exactly who's listening, where they can get a hold of you at, and so forth, because we're going to be coming up here on a break pretty soon. And tell them your, if you can, the information I have is Holistic Family Wellness. You're located at 5875 South Rainbow Boulevard, Suite 201 near the corner of Rainbow Boulevard and Russell Avenue. And your phone is 702-248-6292. And your website is wisechiropractor.com.
Yeah, ultimately, my office is Wise Chiropractic. We are a holistic family wellness center. We are located at 5875 South Rainbow Boulevard, Suite 201 in the southwest region of Las Vegas, Nevada, near Russell and Rainbow. You know, for anyone that wants any more information or anyone that would like to talk to me, you know, go to my website, you can go to Facebook, you can go to YouTube, you can go to LinkedIn. I'm all over the internet, and I'll be more than happy to add anyone as a friend, you know, even if they're all the way over in New York that just want to try and get more information. My entire goal is all about educating, whether you come in through my office or you don't come in through my office. If you just want to be an online social friend on my Facebook profile, you're welcome to, because I do tons of educational posts. Because I truly feel knowledge is power, and we will never make positive change until we can start getting rid of the dogma that everyone believes today, because that dogma is leading us to 80% of the adult population has a diagnosed chronic disease. Within the next 10 to 15 years, that's going to jump up to 90%. And pretty soon, we're going to be damn near close to 100%, where a majority of the people are going to be on drugs. They're going to be having surgeries because their bodies are deteriorating and failing. And that's something I don't want for myself. I don't want for my family. I don't want for my community. I don't want for the U.S. So anything I could do to help change people's mindsets is what I'm always willing to attempt to do.
Well, thank you for the plethora of information that you gave us today, and it was very informative. And we're going to have you back again on the show. At least we hope you'll come back and visit us.
Oh, absolutely.
All righty. Well, thank you a lot, Dr. Weiss, and we'll see you later.
You got it. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Once again, you just heard a very, what I consider an extremely informative interview with Dr. John Weiss. He's the Holistic Family Wellness is located at 5875 South Rainbow Boulevard, Suite 201 near the corner of Rainbow Boulevard and Russell Avenue. His phone again is 702-248-6292, 702-248-6292, and his website is wisechiropractor.com. And as you heard, he's extremely certified and got a world of information.
And,
Steve?
And pretty soon he's going to be on our leader, local experts and leaders webpage as well, with his own profile and everything, where people can watch a video interview and hear some of the information again if they didn't catch it today. Plus, don't forget the downloads of the archived shows.
Yeah, when did he, yeah, that's right. You can go to our archives and listen to the show once again. It'll be up tomorrow for you. And I would say that his video, have you already shot his video?
Yeah, video shot, edited, and ready to go. It's just a matter of getting it transferred over to our web developer so he can get it uploaded.
So I would say we got maybe a couple more days, 2-3 days tops, you know, and then his video will be there, and you can go there and listen to the video that Steve did with him over at, I guess it was at his office?
Yeah, it's called Wise Chiropractic.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic then. All right. So now we're going to be moving on with the next part of the show, which is... Everybody wants to know, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Something about a blog earlier.
Drum roll.
Right?
Even I want to know.
I bet you do, because you're looking like you're looking for something.
I just make this stuff up as I go. Okay. So, actually, I don't want to do a blog right yet. We're going to do a blog later. What we're going to get into talking about right now, because I have a mountain stack of paperwork here, it seems. I want to... What the heck? All right. Yeah, I've never seen that done. Okay. So, let's go into... Let me get to my paperwork here. And let's talk about... That's right. We're going to talk about 10 things a mental black belt knows and accepts.
God, I hope I know these.
Okay, so to move you to the next, let's see here. We got, what, 5, 10, 15 minutes? Fantastic. Number one, if you do not like others judging you, it could be because you have not accepted yourself. Because they sometimes people are seeing themselves through your actions and subconsciously judging themselves. But one thing that I have come to see is that most people, everyone complains about being judged. And I sat back and I really looked at this and I thought, why is being judged by others such a big deal? Well, first of all, they don't have any right or any business to be judging me. Do you have any other reasons? Well, second of all, they don't even know me. So how can they judge me? Okay. Is there any other reasons? Oh, well, sit down and we'll get started. Okay. So, you know, you sit here and you think about this, but as you hear people really explain why they don't like people judging them, it really is, you know, it's because people... Okay, let me start over. they're normally seeing things through their filters that they're looking at you as, and it's themselves looking at you and judging themselves as they're looking at you. And in the reality of the situation, I'm going to say something that's going to be pretty scary, and a lot of you might get offended, but you know what? It's really none of your business what somebody else thinks of you.
That's how I feel about it.
Keep your judgments out of my judgments.
None of my business what you think of me.
Yeah, I mean, I really try to get a hold of this problem, and I see it as a problem that is our self-confidence and our self-esteem so low that we can't take the fact that somebody else judges us and says, well, you know what, I don't think you're this or I don't think you're that, and then we respond to that? You know, I'm like, aren't they allowed to have an opinion of you just like they're allowed to decide what car they want to drive, what home they want to live in, what food they want to eat, what church or what philosophy or religion they would have belonged to? And so, I mean, those are all their decisions. So why shouldn't their judgment about you be their decision? Doesn't make it real. Doesn't make it right. It just makes it their decision.
Right, because then plus you're going to just waste your energy justifying what it is that they think.
I look at it this way. If someone judges me, I say thank you for taking the time to notice me.
Right.
You know, rather it be good or bad, thanks for the attention. You know, I mean, I guess I did something that drew that attention to me or you wouldn't be judging me, right?
Exactly.
So, got to start somewhere.
Who really has a judgmental problem then? All right, so life does not meet you halfway. You have to man or woman up and go after what you want. Life will be measured by what you emotionally and persistently put into it. Anybody want to run with that one a little bit? I'll let some of you guys talk because I know you've been sitting there with ants in your pants. You know? We're going to have to go back and do a little work on attention control, focusing on the energy and controlling it a little better. Yes, even black belts have to control themselves.
Always.
We'll say that last statement again, just the last part of it.
The last part was life will be measured by what you emotionally and persistently put into it. Mm-hmm. Steve?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, you've talked about this before in several of your blogs, but essentially everything is, you know, of course you filter it through your beliefs, but you charge it with your emotion. So some things happen at greater levels because of the internal energy that's being generated from that emotional vibration. So yeah, I think literally the intensity comes from behind the feeling.
The intensity comes from behind the feeling. Now, let's play with that for a moment. What would happen if we took the feeling of something and put it in front of what we wanted to create intensity about? Instead of having something first and judging it and having emotion after that.
It'll charge it.
How would that work? It would charge it,
it'll
right?
It'll charge it.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like when the USS Mental Black Belt Starship pulls over to the side and we gotta change out our kind of energy that, you know, that we gotta fill back up on it. Why do you think people choose, and it really is, or maybe they're just trained that way and they're not choosing. They choose to react, put the emotion first, and then go do what they're gonna do. Instead of putting what they want to do or achieve first and then put the emotion behind it in order to drive it. Why do you think we do it backwards?
I think that's just a habit.
Bad learning.
Yeah. Nobody's ever taught them. You know, like when you first commented to me how, what do you believe, receive? And it was like, well, if you, what was that comment that you used to make about putting the cart before the horse? You had a really good line that you used. About seeing it, seeing is believing.
Mm-hmm. Believing is seeing.
Oh, believing is seeing.
You know, and turning that around, you know, and using exactly that concept and charging it with that energy that it needs to, you know.
If that seemed like a good concept, it's only because it was.
Of course.
Trusting all that. Okay, anybody else want to add anything to this little mix we got going on? All right. That's the first time
I had lots to say about the last one, and I never found a chance to jump in there.
Well, then, woman, don't be shy. If you're going to jump in there, jump in there. You're not going to get no meat for the night.
Blah, 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 blah.
We're waiting.
Oh, okay. Well, we were talking on the last one. We were talking about someone being defensive, and I think maybe it's kind of the same on the one we're talking about now as far as people putting their belief after their emotion. You know, it's reaction. With the defensiveness, I think that's people tend to personalize. So it's just a habit. It's starting to learn yourself and to become aware of just the way you operate.
But why would you personalize something that someone else says about you?
Well, again, because it's a habit. It's reaction. You haven't learned what that is, and it's just a reaction. That's where becoming aware comes in.
So where do you think we learned this from?
Other people making the same mistakes.
Yeah. I think she said something, though, really pivotal, is that when somebody does come at you and you get defensive, you know, sometimes, like we've talked about before, that's something that you really need to take notice of and learn, maybe.
Sure, yeah.
You know, maybe that's why you're getting defensive, you know.
Yeah, defensiveness is definitely a tool. I mean, if you notice yourself getting defensive, then that's a moment for you to become aware and to pause and ask yourself, you know, what is it that I'm becoming defensive about and why? And, you know, am I being critical of myself, or is there something that I know I could be doing better at? Like, is it my own judgment that they're reflecting and I don't want to face it?
What about the complexity of just evolution? You know, as we've become more complex in our brain patterns, you know, it's allowed for us to be able to interpret more information. And part of that information, if you think about it, kind of like our guest speaker, you know, we went back, you know, 100,000 years ago. Did people really have the self-image that we have today? You know, and so is there something behind the brain patterns there?
Well, I think that probably part of the brain is making a judgment to assess if you're a threat or not. But
I mean, self-image, like ridicule and feeling bad about something.
But even at the same time, you can always slow down and take a breath and go, you know, it's kind of like Morii Ueshiba once said, or when he came into the world of martial arts, he kind of turned it on its head. Because up to the time that he came into the martial arts, it was always like, well, if someone's going to punch you or kick you, you can block it, you can jam it, you can put it to the side, you know, you can step back or so forth. And Morii Ueshiba comes in, well, what about if we just redirected it and allow their energy to take them, you know, where it is that they're going to go or where we want them to go, you know? And of course, he created an entire martial arts system off that Aikido, you know, and that's what I kind of look at it is. It's kind of like a football game, since Dr. John Wise had made that football analogy so well, is that it's sort of like if we're playing football and Steve, if you have the football and then you hand the football to me, it's now my football. Mm-hmm. It's no longer none of your concern. I can do with it as I want to, or whatever the structured part of the game is. But the point being is that once you give me an insult, I can do whatever I want with it. It's just energy. That's all it was. It's only going to be real important to me is if I see some significant importance in it that I'm like, oh man, I know that's right. You know, or it's like you, or, and that's what really hurts.
Yeah.
When someone says something about you and you know they're right and you did not want to hear that right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so then you get mad, you know, because of protecting something that you didn't want to hear. So it's really it's kind of sad. You know, when you watch it happening to people, it's like, man, you're just spending a lot of energy and wearing yourself out for nothing.
It does seem like a self-defense pattern for the most part. I mean, coming from the martial arts background, you always look at things from a defense point of view, but the non-martial arts, well, I mean, we've called it that before, like Aikido. I mean, even though it is an art, it doesn't have any combat to it. It's almost, you know, a passive way of just redirecting. You take that aspect out, it's no longer defense. It's just movement.
I'd like to say that was Stephen Garcia, who made the comment about Morii Ueshiba's Aikido having no combat to it.
Not in the traditional sense.
Now you're going to try to wire out. You know, just want everybody to know, it was not Brady Cameron who said that. That was Stephen Garcia who said that. So any of you Aikido guys who are lining up outside waiting for it to come out, that was Steve, not me.
In the black truck.
Yeah, in the black truck.
There's always context. I can add more, but it's only 2 hours to the show.
Do not blame others for where you are in life or why you are there. Now, see, the guy over here, Ryan, our production guy, he's making a judgment on us. He's telling us we got 5 minutes. What a cruel man.
What if I want to talk for six?
So what do you guys think about do not blame others for where you are at in life or why you are there?
Absolutely.
I know so many people believe that. It's just, it's like
you got to look to yourself.
Scripture.
A priceless lesson that is actually more empowering than threatening. A lot of people, I think, in, again, defense, don't want to take responsibility for where they are, or, you know, they operate under the belief systems of, you know, this just happens to me, I just go along with life. And I don't think people really understand their creative power and the fact that when you do accept responsibility, it's more empowering than it is a burden. I mean, it is a burden. It does mean, you know, there's going to be work to be done and, you know, trials and tribulations and effort and all of those things, but that is what puts you in the driver's seat. And it's actually very rewarding.
I used to look to everybody else but me. And then I realized that was so the wrong thing to do.
Well, it completely puts you in victim mode.
Right, exactly. But then, you know, so now when people, they'll say, well, what's the matter? And I say, I'm really very frustrated at the moment. Well, what is it that's frustrating you? I said, I don't know what it is about me I need to change so that I can, so that I won't experience this again, you know, because I really don't want to do this again. But something about me hasn't evolved yet, you know, out of whatever it is that I was doing before, you know, so, and even though, you know, a lot of people I know with that particular situation, they would be looking at the result, which was, you know, something happening to me repeatedly. You know, that just over and over and over again. It's like, ah! You know, but that's not on anybody else. That's on me. Whether, you know, because I'm attracting it, I'm creating it. I'm creating it, period.
Right.
That's the bottom line. Take, you know, take responsibility for what it is that you're creating. Everything is a result of yourself, you know, your actions.
That was the hardest thing for me to learn. But that, I mean, that is a beautiful thing, really, because that is the beginning of learning to accept yourself as the sole creator of your life.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, really, that's, it is a hard, it's mentally, it mentally can be a very difficult thing to accept because, you know, you don't want to believe that you're not capable or you don't want to believe that something is wrong with you. But that situation shouldn't be looked at that way.
Absolutely. Because then once you get it and you realize that it's on you, then now you're in control. You put yourself back in control and you can begin to make the changes that you need to make on yourself so that you don't have the same result.
And the other thing is, too, is, you know, sometimes it's not very clear why you are the one who is the creator of that situation.
Right.
Like you're not sure. Like I know that I'm doing this somehow, but I don't know how.
Right.
It's me. Like it's just, it's not apparent at that point. But even though you're not aware yet of how it is that you are creating the situation,
at least you're looking at
least,
you.
Yes, you begin with the acceptance of somehow I at least have I'm a co-creator of the situation. And when you start to put your brain to work and learning and understanding and becoming aware of how you are participating in that creation, then you know, that's the beginning part of figuring things out and gaining control.
That's what we think.
Now you know that.
Do not play with my emotions. How many times have we heard that one? Are you going to loan them to me to play with?
No.
Yep. If they're your emotions, how can I play with them? They're under your control. You're going to loan them to me? That's what number four. You alone are in control of your emotions. Do not allow others to control your emotions. So we've got heartbreak. We're going on a heartbreak. We just got to do it. The production guy said so. So we will be back at the top of the hour at 8:15 with our guest,
Paula Pecorella, personal wellness coach.
And she is going to be here to teach us a little bit about health and fitness and how to get ourselves going after that. And prior to her, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the mental black belt.
Battle with the mind. What makes you think you can do it now? Nobody in your family has ever done it. In fact, if you start, they'll all make fun of you. What makes you think you can do it now? It's called the thief in the mind that steals the dream and steals the promise. Makes you less effective than you should be. Here's what you must do. Battle.